Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He loves us all. He loves His people so much. The Lord is doing great things, wondrous things in the lives of those that love Him. When you spend time with the Lord and draw near to Him, it enables Him to intelligently teach you His ways. A lot of times people don't know God's ways. They know what they've been taught about Him. And because of laziness and the seem good way, people like convenience, their lust for convenience. You can have a lust for convenience and take the path of least resistance. Sometimes people do that because they're busy and they don't have time to do their own research. They listen to professionals that are catering. See, when you go to a church that don't compromise, then you're safer than if you go to a place where people start looking at the money. See, Jesus said you can't serve God and money. So when people compromise, it puts things in motion that shouldn't be in motion. Now let me say this, since I said all that. The Word of God, as it's really intended to be, is safe. It's perfect. It's perfect. Perfect. There's no flaw in it, just like the crystal sea. And the crystal sea, I believe, is the people of God. They've been washed in the blood, and they've been perfected. See, when the Word of God, there's nothing wrong with it. And it produces after its kind. So, a compromised doctrine is not the same. A compromised doctrine, it can't flourish your life. It can't cause you to be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and have dominion. A compromised doctrine is a limitation against God. It's not the same. It's not to be compared. And in fact, the true light of God's word outshines it. It exposes it for the lie that it truly is. A compromised doctrine can be subtle, not obvious. And people can go along with, even anointed people can go along with it. And they'll stay along with it. They'll stick with it until more light shines. And a lot of people don't have the comparison they need to come out of darkness. Or a mild case of it. Now, the doctrines that are a compromise, they always have a starting point. And so, when people are raised a certain way, the Lord told me, put it to me this way. I asked him, why didn't he tell me something? He told me something good that blessed me in business. And I needed to know that a long time before he told me, because I made a lot of costly mistakes. I said, Lord, you know I needed to know that a long time ago. Why didn't you tell me then? And he said something that I never knew before. He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. So this is how the enemy pulled one over on our best ministers, our best prophets, our best apostles. If they don't know the intent, if they happen to not know part of God's perfect word in the order that He gave it, and they believe it in an altered way, it takes more than human wisdom to come out of this. That's why following God is the way to go. See, when you follow Him, following God is yielding to the Lord. You have your own thoughts, opinions, and ways of doing things. And there's no, that I'm not putting people down because for the things that they believe and understand. But if it happens to be wrong, I'm just showing you, it's not easy to come out of it. But this is what the Holy Spirit will do. He's wise and loving. He loves us. He will guide you in a way and clue you in to what's right and what's better. When you walk in it, you make the darkness obvious. So every time you draw near to the Lord, learn His ways, and live a better life, you make the darkness obvious. This is what happened when Kenneth Hagin and others taught people faith. See, a lot of good people were struggling. I remember those days. I remember the 60s. I was born in 63, so I was a child in the 60s. I grew up in the 70s and 80s, you know. And I remember how people, I've been to church all my life. I remember how people teach. And I saw my parents struggle sometimes. But they had a way of doing things. But when faith was taught, it put the logic back in the word. It put power back in the word. And not that they didn't have it. They had a relationship too. And there were a lot of undealt with fears that I noticed. There were things they didn't know about the spiritual warfare yet. See, the training of spiritual warfare came much later than the teaching of faith in modern times. Very few people operated in authority because most of the preachers that before faith was taught well, they kind of it was just different. So every time the Lord, when people started believing His word and acting on it, not to say that denomination of people and holiness people of that day before faith was taught, everybody had a measure of faith, but it was just better when faith was taught more accurately. Because people, they left jobs and moved across the state lines to minister. They went to places. They did things by faith. You know, this country went through a lot of situations by faith. They abolished slavery because people prayed by faith. So faith was always part of the Christian heritage. But when it was better known and better taught, people had walked in greater measures of faith. And guess what happens when that happens? You expose the darkness for the reality of darkness that it really is. You expose it. You expel it. So this pattern don't have to stop with faith, authority, confessions, healings, blessings, natural and spiritual prosperity, blessing, and they're all needful. And people like to say that talk against the prosperity gospel. The prosperity is a part of the gospel. You can't separate it. Now, when people try to it's a hated doctrine, and some people don't like prosperity preachers, but guess what? You are prosperity. If you believe on Jesus, you are prosperity. And you've been plugged into the life of God. You're living according to the love of God. Just the love of God alone fulfills the law. If you live by the love of God, according to the trusted word of God, you fulfill the law just like Jesus. If you're doing what Jesus did, you fulfill the law like Jesus did. Now, besides all the things you may ask or think, you may ask the Lord for. You're abiding in the word is abiding in you, and you're not even asking for goods. You're not asking for possessions, but you're living according to the love of God. Guess what that is? That's positive sowing. And positive sowing and living an obedient life to God forms the foundation of every sort of prosperity. And when you put the fact that you can pray for what you will on top of that, you can't lose. You are prosperity. You're going to live forever in the kingdom of God, where the streets are made of gold. You're going to enjoy great things. Let's just separate for a moment. Natural prosperity, money, better jobs, better condition, better living conditions, houses, cars, things like that. Let's just put all that to the side. You're seeking first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and you're living your heart, and most of your prayers is about winning souls. Even. This, my friend, is positive sowing. When you do that, it is impossible not to prosper. because you're helping people come to life. And people who do this, they always prosper. It's you can't separate it. The Lord told me that disobedience is the first cause of poverty. Poverty should not exist in God's kingdom. He didn't make fear. These are things that God did not create. One is fear. Another is poverty. He didn't make that. That's not in creation. Not from the beginning. That comes after the rebellion. See, He didn't make worry. He didn't make anxiety. He didn't make hatred. These things are not of God. God did not create those things. Those unvaluable things. Those dead. He didn't create death. You know, hell came about to destroy all those things. You have to, when people sin is something that God didn't invent, you got to understand this. And see, when people teach these things, they I've heard preachers teach against the prosperity doctrine. Well, okay, let's take a wild false prophet. He's a hireling. There are hirelings. They exist. And they want the blessings. They fleece the flock. All right. They make merchandise of God's people. Just like 2 Peter and Jude talked about. They're wolves in sheep clothing. They come in while the church is asleep. And they have preeminent problems. They have pride problems. And they use fear tactics. All that exists. That has nothing to do with the real prosperity message. And I'm going to tell you what the real prosperity message is. Seek first. This is it. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added. Life will flow. That's real prosperity. And if his word abides in you and you abide in him, you can ask what you will and it will be done. Now, again, let's take away all the asking for personal desires, money, cars, houses. And you just living according to the living love of God. All right. The husband and the wife, they both love God. They pray over their children every day. They teach their children the word of God. They teach their children's friends the word of God. And then as they get to know their children's friends, parents, they befriend them. They live a quality life of God before them. And when they're needed, they try to help them. And they win souls as a way of life. And they work on their jobs. They work as unto God, which makes their places of work stronger. If they work, whatever, if the husband worked for a plant and he's giving it all he's got, he's giving them ideas, he's working as under God, he builds rapport with others. And as a man, when men do that, other men will see it. And over time, they'll start coming to the Lord. And they'll start trusting him and telling him the things that's bothering them the most. Men don't do that unless they see more light. And then the woman, she loves her husband, she loves her children. She wherever she works or teaches, you know, my mother was a teacher, and she's patient. She makes sure every student in her class learn and get equipped to go to college. And you know, she pray over her class. You know, and I know they try to take prayer out of school, but prayer was never really taken out of school in the heart of those that really love God, because they pray anyway. They may not pray formally over the class, but they pray for every student. See, you don't let the world dictate how you do things. Okay, so they're not asking for personal possessions. All right? But they're doing everything that God said do. Guess what they are? They are prosperity. this, my friend, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, even if you don't even ask for things, you're still going to prosper. See, the way of God, if this is why, if you spend time with the Holy Spirit and let him guide you in this life, he will alert you to things that need to be. He will alert you to the correct interpretation of the Holy Spirit's word, the written word. Remember, all scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not a private interpretation like people try to turn it into. Sometimes when people take a scripture and they're so glad that they saw something a certain way and they want to make a doctrine out of it. No, that can be a misuse of the word, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about more what Peter said, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. He said, well, let's go look at 19. Well, let's back up a little bit. He said, verse 16, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor, glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice, verse 18, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him on the holy mount, the holy mountain. Verse 19, now watch this. He said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, you do well that you take heed to it, the more sure word of prophecy, as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit intended meaning of the word is what gives you ever developing prosperity type life. Now back to the family I was talking about. The man works on a plant. And God, and he loves the Lord. The Holy Spirit is given to guide us into all truth. And he showed his bosses and the company owners ways that they can benefit even better than they're already doing. He showed them ways to save money. See, when I took engineering, but when I took intro to engineering, we toured a SIPCO, and they had a machine to make the cast iron pipes, and they got this machine from Italy. I think it was Italy. And they found a way to modify the machine so they didn't have to take it apart when they get ready to change the pipe size. So they made the modification in-house. So the people that sold them the machine, they wanted to know how did they modify it. And they wouldn't let them on the property to see it. Because if they knew how to do it, they would have done it and sold it to the competition. See? So somebody had that idea. People can have godly ideas and give it to their bosses or the company owners and make the whole thing stronger than it was before. And they can create greater, faster productivity. And this is intellectual property. And so you got to focus on your plant and how you do things. So, you know, I like to share things with others to help them. You know, people put things on YouTube when they find shortcuts and better ways of doing things. I love that. But see, in other words, the point is not the competition. It's more that when you are guided by the Holy Spirit, you are able to bring greater things to the table. And then the wife, the teacher, you know, I imagine her to be a teacher like my mom. She makes sure all the children learn. What's going to happen? Children that were struggling, now they come home reading and comprehending. My mother was a third grade teacher. She made sure that not only we could read the Sally, Dick, and Jane books, But we had to comprehend what we read, not only those simple books, but greater books. She took me and my friends to Six Flags. She said, if y'all read 300 books, I'll take you to Six Flags. And she did it. Now, we were so happy to go. But she made sure her students learned. When you have the Holy Spirit, you are prosperity. You may not see it, but you are. Now, I said all that to say this. When the Holy Spirit opened his word up to you, sometimes you're going to see things that nobody else sees, and you enter another glory. We talked about that in Sanctions and also See Through Glory. So check those broadcasts out on this same page, on the level, on the audio page 7. It's at the top. Now, when you live the light of God's word according to how it's written, people can see what they normally wouldn't see. And guess what? The next generation will catch on. The generation that be is slower to catch on. But see, my generation caught on to faith. The older generation that started when men of God like Kenneth Hagin, Jerry Savile, Kenneth Copeland, when they taught faith, and the older generation, that was a pushback. But when their lives worked, when people got healed miraculously, people kept listening. When they went on TBN, then people saw that this works. And people don't deny what works, folks. So when you do things the right way and you live according to the light, you live beyond what is. You live high above the normal. And see, we grow from glory to glory. We make change when we change and yield to the Holy Spirit. And how can I show myself something that I don't even know exists? But the Holy Spirit can. If you pay attention, I said all that to say this. If you seriously pay attention to the Holy Spirit's guidance, that still small voice that points out, say, this is the way, walk in it. When he give you visions and clarity and you walk in it and you live it, you have to receive it with faith and do it. If you do this process, that's called following God. And you're going to be an oddball, but you're going to make things plain for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. And the more people that jump on board, and the Holy Spirit will start working with them. That's the way it is. And the people that are students at heart to you, as you walk in the light, they're going to be teachers to the next generation. And also to enhance this generation currently. That we're designed by God to multiply. We have to decide to be fruitful. We're designed by God to be fruitful in the first place. See, Jesus brought us back to the ability to love God without sin. Where all men is that we're designed in God's image. That's the main thing we desire in life, is the love of God. And Satan has been so busy trying to hide that from man and replacing it with conquest and preeminence, pride, and you know, I said conquest in the beginning. They want to dominate others, and they want to be the captain. See, in Satan's logic, you have to be the best. You have to be better and upstage others and take what others have earned. But in the kingdom of God, we live and encourage life. So when you hear what the Holy Spirit has to say and understand his word and adore it and treasure it, with the intent to do it, you're alive. You that's a prospering way. So not only do you affect everybody you know, even the people that reject God are affected. Why? Because the light works, it expels darkness. It exposes it for what it is. And when you can't tell that a lie is a lie, or you don't see the harm in the darkness, it can it can uh, it may not sit well with you, but you don't understand why it don't sit well with you. Well, when somebody comes along doing something better, I'm not talking about preeminently better. I'm talking about godly better. When people are living according to, see, those that live according to God's love and they solve problems, they bring dead things to life, that's godly prosperity, okay? So a misrepresentation of God, somebody that wants to exalt himself over others, use fear tactics, and make people serve him. They love praise like the Pharisees. They love power like Herod. And they act like Satan. And they preach prosperity. They usually use fear tactics to get people to give. And they get rich. And they do. They're just wolves. You know, their logic is dead. See, when you look at the authentic versus them, you know which one is better. And when people allow doctrines that seem good, and nobody has the wisdom to see it for what it is, and you're living a greater life, you're living a godly, better life, you're living a godly example, you're living in God's ways, you expose that junk for what it is, and you expose the misrepresentations of God for what they are. So following God is the way to do this. And when we follow him and when we allow him to use us, we don't do it to shame somebody or to put others down. That's not the goal. You know, I thank God for people. The other Christians that don't think like I do, that doesn't bother me. I understand that people are going to think like they've been taught until they see more light. So my desire is to help people receive what I receive. All right. I partook of the things of God. I live it. I will not compromise it. Now, even though I know that sometimes if you let your light shine, it'll expose people's darkness for what it is. They might be embarrassed. They may be provoked. All this happens. They may feel ashamed, but guess what? The light is safe. So when I do my best, I'm not ashamed of my best because I thank God for everything he helped me understand. But I know for a fact that I'm not doing it. My motives are not competition. My motives is life. And that's why I pray. I say, Lord, you know, we can know something, and the way we relay it is important too. So whatever I learn from the Lord, I want to relay it in his love. I want to give it to others. And I'm the type, I believe in sharing what Jesus, if it's good, give it away. Help others. Help others do what they need to do. See, that's God's way. And I don't believe in competition. I know businesses do, like in the example I gave earlier. But among ministers, we shouldn't have worldly tactics. And see, in the world, you want everybody to buy from your business so your employees can be fed. But see, when people are groomed to do things in man's strength, that's how they think. But I know where my help comes from. So I seek to be a blessing to everybody possible as soon as possible. If the Holy Spirit alert me to something, I want to give it to everybody that will receive it and will be faithful with it. And the Lord helps me distribute it. If I'm about to say something out of season for somebody, the Lord help me, you know, to not say anything. Like I tell you, in many broadcasts, I told about how I would be about to tell some of my pastor friends the fresh revelation, and then when I get in their presence, I forget it. Then when I'm on my way home, it all comes back. And that used to bother me. And I didn't know why the Lord, I said, I know God resists the proud and give grace to the humble. That could have been the case. But in all fairness, I could have been speaking a word out of season. Something. See, the Lord watches how we handle holy things. They may not in their season, they may not have been as faithful with handling those holy things, those holy truths. See, you're going to run into this too. You may, and I really didn't. I never really understood. God didn't really tell me why he did. I assume It was because they were proud and God resisted pride. That's how I taught it, because that's what I assumed. That's how it seemed. And then, and I know them, and I say that because the Lord told me face to face, he said, don't teach foolish pastors. So I know that that's not his will. He said, I want you to teach my people who love, you know, he want people that yield to him. That's who he want to give the greatest. He taught me this. He want to give the greatest revelation to people that's going to follow him, not people that's all right with not following him. So sometimes Jesus said it this way. He said, my people hear my voice. They follow me. A stranger they won't follow because they don't know the voice of strangers. Well, people of God that's taught a certain way and groomed a certain way, that's how they think. So until the light is represented correctly, they're going to keep thinking that way. And the Lord knows what he's doing. In other words, I'm not trying to accuse them of being proud, but I know that the Lord calls me to forget knowledge and then give it to people that trust him, that seek him, and with the intent to do it. And I've seen that before. Around some people, the Lord give me more than what I wanted to say to my pastor friends. So I'm looking at, and I know God loves them just like he loved Jesus. I'm talking about my pastor friends that he calls me not to teach. He loved them just like he loved Jesus, but for some reason he did that. Now, I can't always put my finger on it, but whatever God do is perfectly appropriate and is covenant appropriate. So as you seek the Lord, he's going to help you in this life, and you'll learn greater truths as you continue. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay in victory. Stay in